So to recap again, our agenda this morning is at that link that I just posted into the IRC channel. The quick summary of it is we will do our regular business, talk about the digital verification community group items and sort of, you know, how do we integrate them, and then we're going to have a discussion around the DID use case domains for purposes of proposing a work group for DIDs. So our first order of business is to pick a scribe. So is there anybody who wishes to volunteer? Sort of at the head of our scribes list is Adrian Gropper, Benjamin Young. Bodrin and Andreev. Christian.
Hey Chris, it's Andreev.
Are you on?
So I can do it.
Oh, okay, great. So
I'll move his name, Chris. I'll take care of that.
Thank you very much. So a quick IP note: anyone can participate in these calls. However, if you have not agreed to the group's IP policy, which is the W3C Intellectual Property Protection Agreement, please consider refraining from any substantive contributions. It's important that everybody who submits anything that's technical abides by the W3C IPR policy. The next step, I did the agenda review already. The next step is introductions and reintroductions. Adrian, are you on? Benjamin Young, are you on? Is there anybody new who's never been to one of our meetings before? See a lot of people on the.
So,
hi everyone. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Jack. I'm joining from London. Is that enough of an introduction?
Well, if you can tell us maybe a little bit about what brought you to us and what you're interested in seeing this community be involved in.
Sure. So I'm working with the company, and we do sort of identity verification. So this, I guess an important maybe next stage for us. So we're looking to participate any way we can, and sort of see how things can align and maybe contribute to the setting of the policies here.
Thank you very much. Are there any other new people?
Hello, I'm Michael from Utah. I have gotten involved recently with the Sovereign Foundation and helping out with their code base hosted with Hyperledger Indy. I am really interested in how verifiable credentials are progressing, and I wanted to come and listen in on this call.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us. As far as reintroductions, we always try to have somebody reintroduce themselves who's been a longtime member. Bob Dolan, are you on? I'm trying to say, too many windows. No. Burnett, no. David, are you on? David Chadwick? Could you reintroduce yourself, say what you're up to and what brought you to the community?
I'm not sure David Chadwick is on the call.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard him. All right. Well, we'll move on. So the next is our progress on action items. We're now handling our action items on GitHub. You can click on that link and see all of the current open action items. Does anybody want to update any of these or say anything about any of these? At the bottom, we have SpecText training, which we're still looking for some help from Manu on how to initialize the SpecText properly. There's an update to the RSA signature suite spec. Anybody from Veris One want to say anything about that? Mm-hmm. Is that done yet?
So I put myself on the queue a bit to give updates, not necessarily on this one.
Okay.
So there is a charter. I have an action item to put forward a DID working group charter. So the charter is there in IRC. And actually, let me get the actual link. So the DID working group charter is there. So that action is in process. So the only thing that we need to do now is just fill out a couple of sections there, and we'll have a charter proposal. So that's good, you know, progress there. I think Kim and I had a little bit of a discussion on the RSA signature suite. There is a chunk of work around linked data proofs and linked data signatures. Basically, we have to kind of re-architect how all those specs fit together. So there's a chunk of work that needs to be done that is, I don't know when it's going to be done. The good news is that the implementations are actually fairly up to date. So I think the implementations are going to lead the spec by quite a bit here. So all that to just say that there's work that needs to be done around linked data proofs, linked data signatures, RSA signature suite, and the ED25519 suite. That's probably all going to kind of happen as a chunk over the summer at some point. But exactly when, I don't know.
Okay, thank you. I have an item assigned to me around moving the verifiable news repo to rebooting Web of Trust. So basically, I just want to open this question to the larger group. We never really approved officially verifiable news as a work item of this community. It was sort of something that happened during the last the Boston rebooting Web of Trust. We don't want to really lose the information there, but it's not really an active community here in this community. Are there any objections to moving the repo, or what should we do about things that aren't work items that are kind of accidentally in our purview? Any comments? Anybody from that community?
Where is the work currently to which you refer? Is it currently listed as a work item in our website?
No, it's not listed as a work item, but it is a repo in our community group that isn't active but has stuff from the fall rebooting Web of Trust in there.
I see.
So it's it's just sort of as somebody who's trying to take care. Be careful, more careful about work items than we have in the past. So at this point, I haven't heard any objections to moving it. I will take as that as
we've got a queue
to move it, and I will. Oh, sorry.
No problem.
Kim, go ahead.
Actually, my question was unrelated. So if Manu's was related. I'll yield to him.
Okay. So we may want to ask Sandra Hawk from W3C is doing something along these lines now, so we should ask him. And they're probably the natural place where that stuff should land, because they are working on, I forget what it's called now, algorithmic news or something or another, but that's probably where the work should go. Plus one, that it should probably be moved out since we haven't seen much progress on it. And then back to you, Kim.
Can you do an introduction to me for me, or give me some contact information, and I'll talk about it?
Yes.
Okay. Kim, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to follow up on something Manu just mentioned with regard to reworking it for proofs versus signatures. So you had mentioned that, and I realized, in general, I'm not really sure what needs to be done there and if that's worth sort of a discussion during one of these calls in the future. So basically the idea is, you know, I understand the context of, you know, we're, you know, moving away from the sort of signature to more like the, you know, sort of casting things as proofs. But I'm not sure I've seen any examples of what that would be like, or, you know, like, is it something that's been done already for a particular signature suite, or do we need to have a general conversation first?
Right.
So yes to all of that. We do need to have a conversation about it. There has been implementations, and I think we've moved the linked data signature suite to use proofs now. So we actually have implementations. It's just that we haven't had a chance to refactor the specs to talk about proofs in general, and then signatures as a subtype of proofs, and then the crypto suites as a subtype of, you know, one of those two things. We should have a discussion about it in this community.
Okay. Well, we have a little bit of an agenda item about those later on, so I'm going to table that for now, and we'll have a more general discussion later in this call. We're moving on to work items. This is the link to the work items that are in progress. So what is a work item? A work item is something that has been approved, has some community around it, and it's a large type of output that they wish to. You can see here most of the fall into that category. I'm sorry?
Your connection started dropping syllables.
Yeah.
Okay. Come on. You think final voice call today, so maybe we're getting once again too many people. So that's a note for you, Matt, is to find out maybe what the if we're over full again. Anybody have any announcements or progress in the last week or so on any of these work items that is significant?
This is Joe. Do we have anyone else on the queue?
Not that I'm seeing.
Okay. So I'll have a draft today for Shannon on the Amira use case. So that work item, hopefully once we get through Shannon and publish it as Rebooting Web Trust, we'll flow it into this group and get comment and feedback and iterate and get that published. So we'll have something we could potentially talk about in a week or two, depending on Shannon's time. I know he had some travel this month, so I don't know how quickly he might be able to turn it around, but I'll have something to him today.
Okay, great. For those of you who don't know, the Rebooting Web of Trust has done a couple of use cases with kind of a 15-stage engagement model. This particular one is around a DID anonymous desire by a programmer to do anonymous software, and how might that work using DIDs and verifiable credentials. So it is something that might be a worthy use case to bring to this community for further discussion. Okay, Moses, you're next.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay, so about consensus. So Dan and I are working on the Roadmap Tribe, which is trying to drive adoption. So one of the things we've managed to do is work with HTC, a mobile company, and they're going to announce the world's first blockchain phone. And we managed to talk them into supporting the decentralized ID standard. So the
Hey, Moses, sorry, let me jump in real quick. Is this public? Because the call is recorded and the audio is going to go public right after the call. So
yes, it is publicly noted. If you go to the consensus site, Phil Chen mentions this in his bio, that he's going to be making this announcement on the public website.
Okay.
So what I wanted to say is that it's going to support the DID. So Phil's going to be there, and I'll be there assisting him with the announcement. And I thought what we could do is have a meeting time for anybody that'd like to meet him and talk about it for the decentralized ID crowd to get, whenever the crowd's getting together. So if you could either send me an email or somebody could set up a meeting time for everybody from this group that's going to be at Consensus, that would be terrific.
Okay. Do you want to, why don't you send a particular time at Consensus that you wish to meet and a place to meet to the mailing list
okay.
as soon as possible so that people can do that, which somehow,
sure,
which also shows me that I somehow skipped over this reminders 2 minute section of our, of our agenda. So Consensus is next week. An opportunity has been presented, so we've done that one. My data has asked us to maybe do a focus day in Europe at Helsinki after the event, as well as some a session during the event. Has there been any progress on that? I know Marcus was one of the people involved. Marcus, are you on the call today?
Yes, I'm here. Regarding the session at the conference itself, there's been quite some planning recently, especially in the last few days. My original idea for the conference was that there could be a panel by the with DAD implementers representing different methods or different DAD methods or different DAD tools. There have been many proposals for the conference, so there's not going to be a separate session only about DADs, but there are still going to be sessions and talks that include DADs. We have some members from this community already accepted for the program. We'll see about that. There will still be an opportunity to have one talk or one presentation dedicated specifically to DADs. For that, I wanted to nominate or ask Kim. I think Kim, if you're on, you've expressed your interest to participate. If you like, there's a slot basically to do an introduction about DADs, what they are, what they are used for, and also the community and how they fit in with other things. So if you're still interested in participating, Kim, I think you would be perfect for that, and then we'll have several people from this community talking about DIDs and related topics.
Thank you. Also in the reminders is we picked two potential dates for our DID DC outreach. This is kind of quasi hackathon on DID and VC, implementation, showing what, having all of us sort of do stand up calls once a day on where we are on, our own DID projects and various verifiable claims. The proposal is either the week of the 9th or July the or the week of July 16th. The idea is, again, Monday through Friday, we do a stand-up to talk, each day to talk about our progress and maybe keep an IRC channel open for discussions. Does anybody have really actively involved with the DIDs or implementing verifiable claims know that one of those 2 weeks is a bad week? Manu, is there any conflicts with like major things that Digital Bazaar is doing?
No, both of those weeks should be good. It's a bit far out, so we don't quite know if something last minute might come up. But yeah, in general, looks good.
Okay.
I did put myself on the queue for a couple of other things that Marcus mentioned. So we do have a growing queue.
Sure. Sorry. We don't have Christian. Anybody from Sovereign know if there's anything big going on at Sovereign that week? Okay, and we already know that Learning Machine is open that week. So we haven't picked which week yet. We should soon, but if you've got a strong preference,
Chris,
for one or the other, let us know. I'm moving to the queue. Joe?
Yeah, so I was on the queue for this topic, since I think Manu is the next topic, I think. I just want to point out, so the IIW India is going to be the July 10th and 11th.
Okay.
I don't know if that's going to impact us, but that would be one reason to favor the latter week over the former week.
Okay. Well, that's a good point. So why don't we, next week when we say this item again, we'll call it July 16th and see if there's any major problems, and then kind of nail that in stone in the next couple of weeks. Manu, you had some more items.
Just for Marcus and Kim, I'm happy to help where I can with the My Data Helsinki stuff. So if just let me know. So I'm looking to both of you to let us know what we need to do and where we should be and what talks we should do and that kind of stuff. So just a general heads up. Happy to talk about DIDs. Happy to talk about verifiable credentials. Happy to talk about VerisOne. Just let us know what we should be focusing on.
Great. Thanks
very much. Okay, speaker queue is empty. Back to the closing up the work items. Last call for any updates from our fairly long list of work items that wishes to say something that happened in the last week. Okay, so I'm going to call that agenda item closed. We're reasonably on schedule. So now we go to the digital verification GitHub items. So basically, a number of the various signature suites, time signature stuff, advanced signatures ended up out of the verifiable claims working group because it was sort of outside of their charter, and ended up in this GitHub as repos, and there is technically a separate mailing list for the digital verification community group, et cetera. That never really gelled as a separate community. Early on in the redoing of our mission, which we spent last summer working on, we agreed that we would basically, take leadership on those items. And so technically we are kind of a joint group in that regard. So like all the announcements, agenda items, and whatever have been sent to both lists. However, this is also getting to be a bit of a challenge because we, aren't necessarily actively moving forward some of those items. They're in a completely different place than this community for when people are finding things. So I'm kind of looking for some thoughts on how we, move forward with these. Do we continue to iterate with them with maybe the goal of also having digital verification community group meetings for those four people that are more interested in the cryptography side of things? Do we, closer integrate it with the discussions here in which we already have lots of work items? You notice the work item list that we sort of put together doesn't list those items. So kind of wanted to open up the conversation, maybe spend 10 minutes or so to talk about what we should do as a community about moving these things forward. And of course, then there's also this question of the kind of refactoring of these, given some of the newer things that we've been talking about in in our community about this. So we'll start with Manu.
Yeah, so I think it's a good question. I don't have clarity on exactly how we move this stuff forward, other than the fact that it's moving forward anyway, meaning like we need to do implementations to make sure that the verifiable credentials working group test suite works, to make sure that VerisOne and the DID specs work and have interoperability. So I think we're leading with implementations, which is a good healthy thing to do. And we're lagging updating the specs to match the implementations, partly due to time pressures. So it would be awesome to have more volunteer to pick up some of the specs and go with them. I think the most important specs right now are the foundational ones, the linked data proofs and the linked data signatures specs, and then RSA Signature 2018, the ED25519 signature suite, which I believe is shared between the Sovereign Evernym and Digital Bazaar, the Sovereign Ledger, and the VerisOne Ledger. The RSA one is something that's been, has the most amount of code behind it to date. I think it may be driven by who's implementing what. And I know that ED25519, RSA 2018 are definitely being implemented.
Well, there's also SECP.
Yes, SECP.
SECP has been implemented as well.
Right, exactly. And then there's the Equihash stuff that's actually been implemented. I think only VerisOne uses it, but it's a demonstration of a non-digital signature-based mathematical proof mechanism that slots in the linked data proofs. So maybe the way that we look at it is who's writing code and deploying stuff, and then we prioritize those specs as the ones that need cleanup first. And those things have kind of happened without the CCG community needing to be involved. But it'd be good. It would be good. Like, if there's enough interest here, it would be good to set aside maybe a Crypto Tuesday to talk about what we're doing in that space. Okay, so that's the first point. I don't have clarity on it, but it seems like leading with implementations will probably show us, progress the soonest. The other interesting thing that happened is, for those of you that are on the DVCG mailing list, we had someone write in about how they're using linked data signatures with Hyperledger Aroha. Mike Lauder, myself, and Dave Longley participated in the conversation. That was interesting. Like, it was one of those conversations where they're using it, but in a way that we don't necessarily, some of us don't necessarily agree with, but at the same time, we don't want the community to become a gatekeeper to prevent people from picking it up and using it for their own uses. So that conversation is happening on that separate mailing list right now, but it did raise the question about how much gatekeeping should this community do over these specifications, with, I think, at least at least my personal desire being not a lot of gatekeeping, meaning we shouldn't be blocking people from using the specs or reconfiguring the specs for their own usage if they want to do so. So anyway, just those two pieces of input.
Okay. The next person on the queue, got too many windows open, is Ryan.
Manu, can you tell us a little bit about how linked data signatures has changed since the February spec, if at all?
I don't think it's changed much. The plan has changed. The specs haven't changed that much. So is your question about maybe the plan more than the specs?
I don't follow linked data signatures closely, but I understand it's somehow foundational to some of the ideas going on here because of verifiable claims. And that relationship has just always confused me, and I've been waiting for things to be kind of done enough that I can, like, productively go and dig into it.
Okay.
I don't know if a plan changes that or not.
It does. So basically, don't look at the specs right now. Like, don't look at them and think that they're in any kind of final form. They're super experimental. The implementations are far more accurate of where we think, like, consensus is right now versus the specs. So the specs are, like, outdated by several, I mean, maybe even, like, a year and a half or 2 years at this point. So we started talking about decentralized identifiers and verifiable credentials. Christopher mentioned that maybe we wanted to start doing proofs, so focusing on proofs. And I think the community seemed to agree that that's the right path forward. So rather than saying I have a document here and I have a digital signature on it, it's more useful to say I have a document here and there's a set of mathematical proofs on it. So for example, this is when, like, you know, the linked data signature stuff somewhat predates blockchain. So we didn't have this concept of proof of work that was so widely adopted at the point where we started linked data signature spec. So now with kind of where things are in the world, meaning verifiable credentials and blockchains and decentralized identifiers, we are recasting the way we think about mathematically proving the validity of documents. So the linked data proofs and linked data signature spec are the foundational things that allow us to do mathematical proofs on DID documents and verifiable credentials and a variety of different kind of JSON LDE documents. So the thing that we need to do next is the linked data signature spec needs to be generalized to talk about proofs. And we need to kind of extract the signature stuff and layer it in the proper way. So the base layer for doing mathematical proofs across DID documents, verifiable credentials documents, and linked data in general is going to be linked data proofs. So that's the thing that says you should use something called the proof field in the document, and the proof field can be a set of mathematical proofs. And then layered on top of linked data proofs is going to be linked data signatures. And linked data signatures is going to say signatures are a very special type of, or it's a special type of proof. And that's when we talk about things like RSA style signatures and AD25519 style signatures and SECB256K1 style signatures. Like, those are in the class of linked data signatures. There is another class of proof that we have deployment experience with, and that's the Dimitri's Equihash stuff. So VerisOne uses Equihash for the proof of work on DID documents, and so we wanted to show people how, like, the linked data proof stuff is not just about signatures. It can also be about proof of work and proof of stake and other kind of mathematical proofs like that. So that's the general kind of, like, plan and how it all fits together. It's just we haven't had a chance to sit down and actually write all that out yet. Did that help?
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
That didn't help. I guess I have one super quick question. So LD proofs is the document I'm going to need if I'm going to say a verifiable claim is verifiable?
You're going to need a stack of specifications. You're going to need, at the bottommost layer, linked data proofs, and then you're going to need linked data signatures stacked on top of that, and then stacked on top of that is the verifiable credentials spec. Those three specs are what let you make the statement you just made.
So, Marcus?
I wanted to ask, is there a place where we're keeping track of implementation? So I did a Java implementation of linked data signatures a while ago, and I really outdated, so I'm motivated to keep it updated. I missed last week's call, but I read in the minutes that there was some discussion on DID test suite. So I'm interested in that as well.
Sorry, can you repeat the last thing? DID something suite?
DID test suites, I think. DID test suites,
right.
I think,
okay.
Was a topic at last week.
Right. Okay, so...
So is there a place where we are listing implementations?
Well, I mean, I think that's part of my issue of why I brought this up to the community is, we're not very organized on this. It's kind of in this orphan repo. People who come to credentials group aren't seeing these necessarily. We aren't talking about them regularly. We don't even have them officially listed as work items, et cetera. And we're in the midst of refactoring. So, like, one of my big questions, Manu, for you is you missed a very important thing in your stack, which was the canonicalization method. And even though it is currently embedded in the cipher signature suite, it may be time to split that out, because what we're already going to have situations where the signature suite requires a particular canonicalization, which will mean that the other proof suites can't be used because they only work for maybe a more simple canonicalization method, et cetera. I don't know what the right answer on that is architecturally, but it's coming up increasingly that that's that may be significant. So, but anyhow, there isn't an active discussion. We're not doing our first Monday of the month Crypto Tuesdays on these, and we probably should be. So. I want to basically throw out, not as a proposal, but more for people to think about, and then we can come back with a more formal proposal, that one by one we bring these back into the CG repo as we refactor these. We have a lead. We have somebody who can respond to questions like, okay, where is the Rust implementation of LD? Where is the Rust implementation of the proof? Where is the Go implementation of the SecP? And that there's a lead for each of these who can hopefully, track and keep up with each of these standards or each of these documents as they move. Right now, we don't really even know who the leads are, other than it's quasi the people that posted in the thing. So I'm going to open it up for any last question on this before we move to that. Manu, go ahead.
Oh, I think that was an old me.
Okay. So anyhow, we need to do something about it. If people have proposal ideas, please send them to the list. If you don't like what I just said as a quasi idea, let us know. and Ivana's back on the list.
Sorry. I forgot that I had actually put myself, it was nulled. So one place that we can track implementations is in the Crypto Suite registries. There's this proposal for a process to add things into the Crypto Suite registry, and I think one of the bars that you have to meet is you have to do an implementation of some kind. It doesn't have to be a super complete one, but you need to be able to point to some code that's running that implements the spec to some degree. So in the Crypto Suite registry, we give examples, we talk about who the implementers are, we talk about where the spec is. We could also start listing where implementations, like what libraries implement that particular Crypto Suite. And I think that would at least give people an idea of what pieces of code they can use. And that also gives you an idea of levels of maturity.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, one of the things that increasingly it's easy to just point people to the credentials group and they can find everything they need. So that's yet another, focus there. Okay, so we're going to close that agenda item and move on to our final agenda item of the day, which is the DID use cases and domains. The purpose of this discussion, or I should maybe say the goal of this discussion, is that in order to get a working group charter that for DIDs, we are going to have to present use cases. And as Manu pointed out last week, we have to be careful about what those are or are not. Manu, are you willing to very quickly recap the, cases as far as big and how little they should be given the process?
Sure. Yeah, we don't need to, so the DID use cases don't need to be big and complex. Like, I think we could probably get away with like a 6-page document here. Because we're being very focused with the DID spec, right? So we may come up with a use case that is, if someone's getting a decentralized identifier for a public persona. The second use case could be someone wants a decentralized identifier for a pairwise pseudonymous relationship. The third one could be an organization wants to get a decentralized identifier for one of their departments, like a court system or something like that. And I think we only really need maybe, 4 to 6 of those use cases, and we could stop there. It doesn't, it just needs to give people an idea, a flavor of what the work's about. We don't need to go into use cases like Urim or a Mira. So I think that's the goal here. Is like it should be an easy lift, and we should be able to write the majority of the content within a week and be done, right? And have that be good enough that we can take the W3C membership.
And I think you also expressed there's a fear that if we did too much there, that some of the stuff could be used against us in political ways. So we have to be careful about what we do. Okay, so I'm going to pass the Heather, go ahead.
Yeah, so just a question. I'm not going to rehash what I asked last time, but like for this W3C requirement for these use cases, I'm on board with like what you discussed. But is there like can we be more detailed within
yes.
ourselves?
Yeah. So in the community group, we can elaborate on use cases as much as we want to, because that gives us one. It's good to do that, right? It's good for all of us to be on the same page. As to the ecosystem we're trying to create, and two, it gives us political cover. So it allows us to say, look, this is just the stuff that the credentials community group is talking about. It is an unofficial, blah, 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 but still allows us to be very specific about what we want as a community out of this initiative. So if someone in W3C, like if one of the big multi-billion dollar W3C members says, these people are trying to boil the ocean, just look at the use cases that they're putting forward, we can say, hey, we're just talking about that. And you know, those are some of the expectations that the community group has. But as you know, W3C member, that's not what the official working group, you know, has to carry out. So I think absolutely, Heather, you know, the CCG can keep its own use cases document, and that's supposed to be also what the CCG stories are supposed to be about. We're supposed to be able to gather more prosy, long-form content that describes the kind of future we're trying to create, and have a place where you can publish that, that is not W3C proper.
Right. Again, that's, you know, that's the you know, the key thing for those who are new to the W3C process is CCGs have a lot of flexibility, which is great, but the one thing they can't do, very importantly, is they cannot create a real standard. They can only, publish documents that have, you know, no official standard, international standard thing. So we basically, informing a working group, just like with verifiable claims, makes it, you know, raises the bar. The IPR requirements are higher. You have to be a member of the W3C, et cetera, et cetera. Heather, you had a closing.
Yeah, so Manu, is there a way for, at some point in the future that the more detailed use cases and, the stuff that we're putting under stories, is it safe to say that at some point there may be, all conjecture, a movement of some of the use cases or stories that are in the stories from the working group get moved into the formal W3C use cases?
I would say it's highly doubtful. So here's how that could happen. The working group may need to, the working group can always produce notes, but the W3C produces technical specifications. It does not produce use cases as normative output. The type of body that would do that would probably be closer to ISO potentially. They do more business processy use case style things. But even then it would be a stretch. But that doesn't mean that there's no power in what's written, right? So if this whole community is gathered around the CCG stories or particular CCG stories, then when we go into creating those technical specifications, we take kind of that philosophy in with us. So that doesn't mean that we should be totally spineless in the use cases document. There are some things that are non-negotiable things that this community wants, one of them being people should be able to be in full control of their identifier, right? Full stop. That's one of the reasons we're doing the decentralized identifier work, and that I don't think is something that we're willing to compromise on. So the use cases should be very clear about that. And the use cases can always refer to things outside. We can refer to links out on the web that gives people a better understanding of why we feel that way. So in that case, in that respect, the goal shouldn't be we're just trying to get these stories moved through W3C, because the membership's just going to reject that. They're going to say we're a technical standards community. We put out technical standards. This is prosy stuff that we can't test in software, so it doesn't belong here. But the philosophy behind it, that we can link to from the specifications and from the use cases. And in some cases, that's powerful stuff, right? And that's the kind of stuff that rebooting does really well, right? So we have these things that we've published in the past that the community is behind, and they are published through rebooting. And we have done things reference those things in use cases and specs.
I guess
so it's not, yeah. Go ahead.
I guess I just want to ensure that, like, I understand the need to be specific with W3C. I also see a gap in the W3C process for seriously considering the human interaction. And I think that one of the ways that we are trying to address that is by doing these stories. And so I want the work that we do with these stories to have a benefit to the work that we're doing, that W3C is doing. And so it seems to me that it's only logical there should be a relationship, like it should influence slash guide the more technical use cases.
I think you should be reassured. I mean, I think that's one of the things that makes us different, this community, and sort of the edges of the various working groups that we may spin off or have spin off in the case of verifiable claims. I mean, the key strength that the community group has, even though we cannot formally do international tech specifications, is that we have longevity. We do things like the registries. We are kind of a central place that, you know, can exist in perpetuity. There's some real strength there. And as a community, we're basically saying we do value these things.
I totally get that, Christopher. I'm just being extremely explicit about wanting there to be an interaction between these.
Yeah. So let's Manu, I think you have an example of one. So I'm going to have you jump the queue.
Chris, that's what I was going to address if I could.
Go ahead,
Joe. Oh, sure. Sorry, dude.
I think we were going to talk about the same topic, which is namely, I agree with Heather. I think you should be reassured, although I appreciate your explicit call to link stuff. The URM work, we really haven't integrated as well. And there, I think we're getting in a better workflow. To Matthew's point, W3C isn't normative about use cases, but as we're rewriting the use cases now for the VCWG to update that for what's heading out in the world, we are looking at URM and Amira and other conversations and stories that people have brought to the collaboration. So it is influencing, you know, these revs, and there will be a use case document that's created. So absolutely, I want to flow those in. I wish there was a more formal way to do it, but there is influence that's going down the line.
To give you a concrete example of where this happened, Heather. So when the verifiable credential work started, so it was incubated in this community. There were something like 12 things that we identified, and they were not technical requirements. I mean, they were not technical requirements, but there were expectations that we had on the ecosystem, such as people should be in charge of their own data, right? So that actually lives in the verifiable credential spec today, because this community took that position. And in fact, in the spec that we created, we said these are the, you know, 12 things that we expect the ecosystem to have, so that when we got the spec into the group, people couldn't argue those points away, right? And the basis for that was a very human-centered. They were human-centered arguments, right? We converted them into stuff that had a technical impact. But those things, like those 12 things that we wrote, survived, right? And people tried multiple times to remove them from the specification. So that's an example of this community doing exactly what you're talking about, which is elaborating on the stories and then explicitly linking or at least explicitly writing text that ensures that human story can be accomplished with the technology in the technical specification. So again, I'm agreeing with what's been said here. I think we have at least this community has a good track record of doing that, and we can point to an example where, you know, there is a chunk of text in a W3C spec that underscores the human reasons of why we're building technology the way we are.
Okay. So we have to start writing this thing. So Joe had some thoughts on how to begin. We only have 5 minutes of this call. We can bring this up again on the agenda. But Joe, how would you like to take it from here? Who are the leads? Is it just you, or are there two leads for this?
It's a good question. I did sign up to lead. I don't know if we have any other volunteers to contribute as a lead.
Hello?
I'm certainly planning on being heavily involved. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Coyote. If you could, I've never introduced myself formally. I joined the last call last week. If this is related to the DID use cases, I indicated in the chat that I'll be willing to help out, whether it's a lead or a less low lead, but that's something I think that I'd be willing to join in with.
That would be great. Why don't you and Joe take that offline? And
Heather, who spoke up in IRC. So.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
That'd be great. And then as Heather has also said that she's interested in potentially co-leading. So, Joe, is there anything else that we should talk in our last 3 minutes about how to, I mean, what do you think the next step is for moving this agenda forward?
So I think the next step is to try and get, three to five focal use cases. I think pushing as far forward as we can, as Manu suggested, in something that's short and sweet, I think is the right marching orders. Inevitably, there will be more, people will want more things than we can fit. And so that'll be the tension, about the kitchen sink. So I think a target of a short set of use cases, we may end up doing more, we may end up having more content, but something short and simple and sweet is the right starting place.
So I will end that with the advice that, you may suggest a use case or a specific requirements, even if it doesn't get into the working group use cases, it is important for us to capture in the credentials community. Our focus with this is to get this technical working group launched so we can turn DIDs into an international standard with all the force and authority that has. We want to focus on what can get done and what's going to allow us to have that happen. But that doesn't mean that if for some reason your use case side case to the use case or whatever isn't important. We want to capture a lot of these types of things. We would like to make sure that we know and dive deeper into them. But the focus of this group that is emerging is a working group use case start. Kazai, you want to say one last thing, and then we'll close with Joe. Oh, Colpreet's interested. Kazai?
Oh, I'm sorry. I that was a while ago that I had my interview. That was just...
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, yeah. Joe, I'll let you close on this topic, and then we'll close the meeting.
Great. I just wanted to get some guidance. Manu, what do you think is the best way to sort of request input on potential use cases, focal use cases, Should I send some of that to email? Should we have GitHub issues?
No, email list would probably be the best thing. Although, you know, the way this usually happens is you throw a bunch of them out there and then the community responds. It's always a good idea to ask over email, so definitely do that.
Okay.
But, you know, yep. I think people trust you to do a good job of picking some focal ones.
And so we have four kind of volunteers. There's you, Heather, Youngley, Kazike, Manu might want to contribute. I think I might want to contribute. Well, let's seed something in the discussion list, maybe have a offer to have a call to kind of collate a first pass. I'm willing to be on that call as well, and then submit a proposal, you know, and a sort of a first pass after that phone call and such. So that's an idea. But it sounds like we should seed the discussion on the email list.
Sounds good. So I'll kick off that. I'll send an email right now to the group.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Everybody, thank you for the meeting today. If you have any, we do not have a specific agenda for next Tuesday's meeting. If you've got some ideas, you have you've got some questions on other kinds of things where you'd like to have a broader discussion, please let the chairs know that you're interested in doing that. Thank you very much. Everybody have a good day.
Cheers, all.
Thank you.
Thanks, all.